What's up, fool? Podcast with Felipe Esparza and new co-host Fraser Smith.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, fools?
From 95.5 Kelo Wins.
Thanks, bro.
I'll hear moonlighting on a podcast.
I'm going to play that in a minute. How about the Doors?
Yes, man.
Should we play?
All right, man. We're going to listen to the Flaming... What's the... Tijuana Brass Band. That was like a Mexican name for a band, but there were nobody Mexican in it.
No, they were all Italian. Every one of them.
They were all Italian. And you know, when I was in New York, I saw an Italian band, and they covered Santana.
See, there you go. You're even now.
Cover band. They were called Santino.
Santino. Wow. Now they're a comedian. They formed together.
Bada bing.
Hey, knock it off, all right?
Yeah, man. These guys' suitcases were full of money.
Yeah. But in this case, they were full of equipment.
Yeah, man.
For the What's Up Fool podcast.
What's up, Fraser Smith, man? How you been, man?
I'm good, buddy.
Thank you for filling in for Rodrigo. Can I get a yeah, man?
Yeah, man. Now, where is Rodrigo?
He's in Zacatecas, Mexico.
Zacatecas?
He goes there on vacation. You know, he goes over there and eats tacos.
And, you know, I asked him how it went last year, and he goes, it's Zacatecas. That's what he said.
So what's up, Fraser, man? Any new Donald Trump jokes?
I got a Donald Trump joke. You know, Donald Trump's trying to suck up to Hispanic people since he insulted him. So he's like, this thing on top of my head, that's a chupacabra. Come on, that's my Donald Trump joke.
It's a sarape.
It's a sarape, exactly.
It's a blonde sarape.
I don't know what that is. By the way, you know, he's opened a taco stand.
Oh, yeah?
Trump's Tacos. You got to go there. They've got the comb-over quesadilla. It is.
These are the worst joke I ever heard.
Wait a minute.
Felipe, how do you do that? How do you get this?
Our special guest is here.
Oh,
come
my
on.
God.
It's Jamie Masada, the owner of the Laugh Factory.
Do I have to be part of that?
He already doesn't want to be part
you,
of it.
I don't want to be come across fool like you, Felipe.
Wow. The doctor will kill you now.
Well, it is good to have him here, though, because he's legendary.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know about legendary. Yeah, legendary for people, they are dead. I'm not dead yet.
I know. The first time I heard of Jamie Masada was on Comic Strip Live on the radio.
Yeah, Comic Strip Live.
No, we didn't have a radio. We did have a TV show in here for 6 years. We did a 49 of them a year, Comic Strip Live. And... I started as brought the show in here with Rick Messina. Then after that, I became a producer of it. Then we took it internationally. Then we took it national. We put the Fox on a map.
Fox.
That's how, yeah, Fox.
They did. It was a great show. Yeah.
And we did it. And the other thing at that point was happening that people, they don't know. It was another thing happening. It was Living Color.
In Living Colors.
In Living Color. You don't want to. The only two people I fought for to get them on the show. It was Jim Carrey that I don't want to say who, all of the guys, they didn't want him on. And Eric Gold was manager of Jim Carrey. And at the same time, he was manager of the Wayans brothers. So he couldn't do it. I was walking up here with a bunch of Fox executives. I begged them. I said, you got to have him on. You got to have him on. And they said, well, the Wayans brother, I said, I don't care what they said. You got to get him on. So they got him on. And then at that point, the next one was 2 years later was Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx came in, and I remember we put him on the stage, and he came in the cowboy hat. And what?
He's from Houston, right?
Yeah.
He's from Houston. And what a funny guy. And when I started campaigning for him, I said, I really think Jamie have a lot of talent, really a lot of talent. And he came on the show, and he won the show. Both of them, they were nominated and was for Oscars. And that's between all of the Living Color. And I got to take you credit for another thing happened. Afterwards, the Living Color was finished. Of course, by Jennifer Lopez, all of you guys.
Yeah,
know
Jennifer
about
Lopez worked at the Laugh Factory.
You know, and let's go to.
She did?
Yep.
Let's go to. That's not important. The most important thing. Okay. The most important thing is that after the Living Color, a friend of mine, Bob Israel, came to me.
Yeah.
Bob Israel came to me. He have a script, and he took it to everybody. And everybody said no. And he said, Jamie, I beg you. And I have dyslexia. I can read fast. So I'm reading it. And all of a sudden, I read it. It took me a week to read it. Finally, I said, oh, my God, this is Jim Carrey. So I took it to Jim Carrey. And I told Bob, I gave it to Jim Carrey tonight. He said, Jamie, I kill you, because his manager, Eric Gold, and Jim Mellor, they both read it. They hate the script. How could you give it? I said, I don't care. This is Jim Carrey. And Jim Carrey had next night about 4 o'clock in the morning, he calls me. Jamie, I love the script. I'm still rewriting it. I love the script. And that movie was Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or because he had dyslexia, it was Ventura Ace.
Do I have to go to those bad jokes, please?
Sorry.
Please. Oh, God. Oh,
but though, Jamie did recommend a lot of the top stars. Yeah. I mean, he got those two guys on Living Color.
And the other thing, a lot of people, they don't know about the history of Latino. I want to let you know. I wasn't in this country the time, Freddie Prince was there, and what's happened. And I opened the club after a work as a stand-up comedy. I came in here, opened the club at 16 years old. And I remember two comedian was around. It was Jesse Aragon and yep. Paul Rodriguez.
Jesse Aragon, the guy that rode a motorcycle, right?
Yeah. He poor guy, he passed away. He passed away. He got an accident on a freeway.
With his Paul's motorcycle. Best friend.
Huh?
Yeah, Paul he was Paul's best friend.
Yeah.
And he was a very talented kid.
He was
good actor.
Very,
Jesse Aragon.
Great guy.
Google him, people. Jesse Aragon.
Yes. Used to be on my radio show. He played Holmes.
That's right.
He's Holmes.
They don't even know who is your radio show.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Kill it with 95.5.
Why do you have to go there, please?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me finish. Let me finish the Latino thing.
Sorry.
That's all of the Latino listeners they got. If it wasn't because of Paul Rodriguez, it was not today. I guarantee it was not that many Latino comic would be around. Because Paul Rodriguez, before George Lopez, before Carlos, before
he's the Godfather.
We started the Latino night in here, and he would come every night. He encouraged everybody to come and do every Latino he would meet. Hey, you got to come in do 2 minutes. Hey, you got to come in do 5 minutes for me. And he was one of the most amazing guy. And how he was supportive. I mean, I would really, in comedy-wise, I always want to give a credit where it goes, where everybody deserves it. And if it wasn't because of Paul Rodriguez, it would not be that many Latino comic, because Latino comic, Paul Rodriguez paved the road for everybody and opened, and he would go to, I'm not kidding, he would go to Compton, he would take me to Compton, and he would talk to the kids in high school, in this, I would talk to them. He said, tell them about your club, Latino Night. And he would go speak Spanish up there. And I never forget it. He was one of the guys, I think, if Latino, they want to give an award to him, Paul Rodriguez should be the number one person get in Latino for comic. He should get the rest of it. If it wasn't because of, George Lopez, all of those guys, they wouldn't even make anywhere, It's just the guy, he's one of the most incredible supportive of Latino I ever seen. It's the same thing as Paul Mooney is about African American. And he is very passionate. And Paul Rodriguez is very, very passionate about Latino. And still the time he comes in here, I never, never find him to always, I always find him, he comes in, hey, any Latino in your schedule, let's get some Latino more going. He always have, after 35 years, he's still doing that. And he's amazing.
Yep.
So I got to get that out of my chest.
Yeah, the Paul Rodriguez, man.
That's right.
A.K.A. Paul Rodriguez. Pablo.
A.K.A.
Pablo, that's right.
Yeah, I remember the show.
He was the best. He was the one of the number one. And I got to tell you something. Last week was Gabriel Anglesa was in here for the comedy camp.
Comedy camp.
Yeah. And the kids, they start asking about Puffy, Fluffy. I said Puffy. Fluffy or Puffy, whatever you call it. Yeah, Fluffy.
Fluffy, I think, would
and
be good.
And all of Chocolate. The kids, every comedian, every comedy camp. By the way, comedy camp we do in here is for underprivileged kids.
When did you start comedy camp?
32 years ago. 32
Richard
years.
Pryor, huh?
Yeah, Richard Pryor, he came in for 14 years, was in it. And Richard Pryor, we get to it. Richard Pryor was my first comedian on the stage in here. We get that. But and Gabriel came in, and everybody asked about you. And he did impression of you.
He does a great impression of
you. Oh, my Felipe. God.
He was impersonating me at the comedy camp?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And he did a second.
I told the kids, I am the Felipe.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't believe you first. They did not believe you.
Awesome.
But, you know, now Gabriel really, I didn't know that much about Gabriel. Gabriel is like you, have a big heart, and you want to give back to the kids.
Yeah, the kids love him.
You know, it was amazing to have Gabriel and how big heart he have. How really he was really concerned about the kids and all of that stuff. He went on the stage for a long time. He talked about how he started, how he should be. And he told everybody be positive and everything. It was amazing. It was amazing, you know. And you, of course, you come in every year. You come in every year. And other people, they don't know about Felipe. Felipe is coming here every Christmas.
Yeah, he does. He comes for the Thanksgiving.
And he feed the homeless. And, you know, most of the people, they come in here, they ask me, say, who is that homeless serving us? And go on.
How'd he get on the other side of the table?
I know they think that.
Yeah.
No, they did one time. And every year I get few people after you go perform on the stage. They say, hey, can we go on the stage? I said, no, this is, we got to be. What about that homeless went on? I said, what are you talking about?
Who, Felipe or Jay London?
No, Jay London, we put him only one time.
Yeah, last year he was good.
Jay London.
They loved him. Thank you.
Naturally homeless, you know, but you make it look like, you make it sound like it, you're homeless, and people, they believe you.
Thank you.
You know, you do. And every
that was
year
funny.
And that's a cool thing, that Christmas and Thanksgiving that Jamie does here, where he feeds homeless people, and then they do a show, and he's done it for
three shows a night.
Yeah, three shows.
Four shows. 11, 1, 5, and 7.
Such a great thing. And
the other thing is, we do over 2,000 people serving food. People, they don't realize, slowly, we order 22, we cater 2,200 food. But again, is if it wasn't because of all of the comedian, I wouldn't be able to do it. That's reality. It's we all doing it together. I mean, if it wasn't because of Fraser, because of you, because of Paul, because of everybody come in here. But the only thing I have to tell you, Felipe, next time you come in here for Thanksgiving, dress up, because every homeless people, they want to go after you. They say, can we do it? Can we go on the stage? I have a couple of jokes.
If that guy can do it.
If that homeless guy can do it, I can do it.
I could do it.
And you make it, and the thing about you, Felipe, you're going on the stage, you make it, you know, so everybody's so relaxed. And you make people, you know, and you do it in such an easy way. You do stand-up comedy, and people, they think, oh, my God, this is easy. I can go up there and tell a joke. One time I did put somebody up on the stage. He was begging me. I said, okay, go up the stage for two minutes. He went on the stage. He started peeing on his pants.
You know, and I'm really sorry I did that.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right,
thank
Fraser.
You.
Okay, Fraser.
He was nervous, man.
Yes, I was nervous.
Yes.
He thought the stage was the bathroom.
Yeah, come on. I was in a hurry.
No, and this is actually, that was second person we have in the club. One time, Bob Hope, he called me Saturday night. And I think you were MC or Jimmy Brogan was MC.
I think Jimmy Brogan, yeah.
Yeah. And he was, he called me. He said, Jamie, this is Bob. Oh, you missed the Hope. No, call Bob, Bob. I said, okay. He said, well, I'm coming in here with this Marty or Marvin or whatever his name was. He's my something, legal thing. And we have a party at the house in here in the Telugu Lake. And he want to do a comedy. His dream is going on the stage of Laugh Factory. Can I bring him, put him up? Who can say no to Bob Hope?
Bob Hope, what do you
say? Yes, sir, bring him up. And he brought them up. And this guy Marvin comes, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And I said, oh, okay. That's this guy, he have energy, maybe something. And I told him, have you ever been on the stage? No, man, this is easy. This is easy. I seen Bob doing it. I can do it. I said, okay. That sound wonderful. That sound great. Let's bring you up. And I told MC, I said, bring him up. Say he's a friend of Bob Hope and Mr. Bob Hope, and how great he is, how wonderful he is, and build him up. And Marvin, whatever his name was, and he mentioned his name, Marvin. I said, Marvin, are you ready? Yes. And he walked into the stage, and as soon as he mentioned the name of Marvin, and he got by the stage, he started walking slow. Then he got to the mic, and he hold on to the mic, and he opened his mouth, and he couldn't say nothing. And I went to Bob Hope. I said, Mr. Hope, he's been on the stage for almost a minute. No one left. Nothing going on. And he said to me, I don't know. And Bob Hope used to eat those after dinner, you know, mint chocolate stuff. He put some in my hand. He said, eat some. And I started eating it. I'm on the stage. I keep looking at it. And I said, oh, my God, he's been on the stage 90 seconds now. 2 minutes, it's nothing.
Nothing.
Not a word. And all of next thing I know, Felipe, I never forget it. And he have a tacky pants. I start seeing his tacky pants start getting wet and wet and wet and wet and wet. And I went to Mr. Hope. I said, what, this is part of his act or something? What's going on?
Did it get wet?
No, it was, everybody was frozen. It was frozen for him. Because you could see him, how scary he was. Then I had this guy. Yeah, I don't know if you remember. Brother Wood, he was working.
Brother Wood, yeah.
Yeah. Brother Woods comes. I said, Larry, get in here. So what? We got to get on the stage, get him off. I'm not going to get that white guy with paint on his pants off the stage. You out of your mind. You're not paying me enough. I said, Larry, calm down. We got to get the poor guy up there. Oh, I'm not. You better pay me a lot of money for that. I said, all right. We pay a lot of money. Go. And he went, and I went, and a couple of people, we got him by the shoulder. We took him from the stage. We brought him in the lobby at the time. And now it's about 350 people in the club.
Wow.
At the time he got in the lobby, and he just, and I don't know why, what it, I just flip my hand in front of his eyes, and I hit him. Are you okay? And he all of a sudden, he came to life. He said, yeah, I'm ready to go on the stage.
Oh, no.
I said, you you fool, as Flipper would say, you fool. You
what
are
on fool? What happened?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that, a lot of crazy
That's
stuff
crazy.
Happened.
I'd laugh.
I know, man. I went one time, Brother Woods, on a Friday night, some crazy Mexican guy, Cholo, bald head, he got kicked out of the show for heckling. And then Brother Wood is telling him, you have to leave, young man. But that guy takes out a brick of money, like $10,000, like a brick of money. He goes, fuck you, N-word this and that. And Brother Wood just looked at the guy and said, come on, man. My mother's half Spanish.
What happened to the brick of money?
I don't know, man. I was going to snatch it and take off with a valet cart.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have.
Come
you
on,
should
have.
It was like $15,000. It was just stacked up like a big brick. I said, man, you don't need it.
Yeah.
I bet
on.
He doesn't.
He's got more.
It, you know, well, I got to tell you something about Brother Wood. Brother Wood, he, as you all saw him, always.
You call him Batman, right?
He was our door guy for many years.
He was a Laugh Factory doorman for a long time. And you saw him always wear a tuxedo.
So always look sharp, yeah.
With a bow tie. And I saw him a couple of times. Drew Carey comes in here, so and so comes in here. You know, Adam Sandler walking in, whoever walks in, he keep them, he take them around, and he goes in a corner of the lobby, and he's opening his jacket like he was selling drugs. And I'm saying, oh my God, I hope this son of a bitch, he is not selling drugs in my club. And finally, one day I said, Larry, I gotta know what, you gotta open your tuxedo. I got to see what is under it. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not doing that. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. I said, listen to me. Larry, you want to work in here? You got to show me inside your jacket what it is. Finally, he said, come on, come on. And he took me in the corner. He said, do you want to get laid? I said, what
yeah, you want to get laid?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He opened his jacket, and he had a bunch of different colognes, you know.
Oh,
and he
come
had
on.
Some cologne.
What?
He had some cologne. He would give it to you, and he would only sell it to big comedian, famous comedian. He have a cologne for example, hitting on the girls and the girls being attractive to you. He have a cologne for...
Where did he get that?
He have the same one cheap cologne and he put a different bottle on it.
Oh, come on.
And he was one of the funny... I said, you're kidding me. He said, yeah. I said, how much
polo,
you selling?
Cholo.
Cholo.
And I asked him, I said, how much you getting for that? $90 for a little bottle. I said, did anybody buy it? I said, a lot of people, they buy it from him. And I just could not believe it. Could not believe it.
Where's my cut?
Well, I bought a lot of drugs from him.
I believe you, Fraser. You are
no idea.
You are one of the drug addicts in the club.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, Fraser just smokes pot. He doesn't take drugs.
What happened to Red?
Yeah, Red. Remember Big Red?
Pesci?
Oh, yeah.
Man. That was wild.
Jim, I started to show up early in the morning for damage control again.
Oh, my God.
That was wild.
I never forget that. That was Felipe, you remember?
Another Red door guy.
Another door guy, he comes in. And Joe Pesci comes in and says, I want to put so-and-so on. He said, oh, what the heck you are? You're just an actor. Get inside. You know, you just got in. He said, well... I want to do something about it. I want to put some girls on the thing, and I'll pay for it. He said, get away from my face. Because he was with attitude, the way he talked to Red. And Red, all of a sudden, said to him, the way I heard from other comics, he told them, a bunch of comedians, they are in lobby. He said, listen, this is not a movie. One more word out of your mouth, I'm going to wipe this floor with you. And just remember what I'm doing. And... I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back. Take care of. He said, you want to be back? Come here. I'll take you outside right now. And Joe Pesci walked inside or whatever happened. I didn't hear anything about it. I heard next day. And next day, I know two guys, they were walking by here, different guys, they were walking. Look, they're looking for Red. These two Goombas off, you know. They look like you, actually. But you don't have that meanness in you. But, you know, they were big guys, and they're walking by, you know. And I said, Red, these guys, they are here. I don't know maybe they wasn't for you. Maybe they were for somebody else. But I don't want you to be here. I don't want you to get killed. And he never showed up from
me. Yeah, he was gone.
Somebody that was gone.
Yeah. Wow.
That was I have my luck. I have my luck of crazy stuff.
I know, right? He's had a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah. Crazy doorman. Like, remember that guy that was half burned?
Oh, yeah.
Reggie Blaze.
What was his name?
Reggie Blaze. Right.
Blaze.
You heard a doorman with two burned arms.
Yes. Yeah, he was like the Invisible Man. He was all wrapped up.
He was all wrapped up with bandages.
Yeah.
No, but,
let me take you a seat. Follow my bandage.
And when he took the bandages off, you couldn't see him.
No.
But
Hollow Man.
He was Hollow Man.
Hollow Man. Okay, guys. You guys.
He was the original Human Torch.
Yeah. He's in the new Fantastic Five.
Yeah.
Okay. He's the fifth one. All right. Here they go with their jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, folks. Sorry.
Not funny jokes. Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. The club owner.
All right. Reggie was, I mean, Reggie, he was one of those guys that I learned that.
You're like Al Davis from the Raiders. You give everybody a chance.
No, because I remember I learned that from a guy, his name was Sam Kinison, comedian Sam Kinison. Felipe and Fraser, you both know him, but maybe the people out there, they don't know. Sam Kinison was one of the greatest comedian.
Legend,
one of the legend comedy. And he was in here, and he would come in, and after the show, he would take me to Cantor. You know, Cantor is a deli. We go there, every comedian go at night, late at night there. We go up there, and time we come out, he see a bunch of homeless people. Hey, you come to Laugh Factory, Jamie is going to give you
a job.
Jamie is going to give you a job. And that point was Reagan was president. You know, Reagan did the worst thing for you guys homeless. But Jamie's going to make it up for you. He's going to give you all jobs. Okay. And next day I'll come to work. I see 3-4 of them out there. What can we do? I don't know. I give each one of them, you know, maybe $10, $20. And I give them room. Clean up around the club. Clean up around the city. And they would take the $20 and never see them no more. So that was my employment. And I got to learn. And I realized some of them, they really need a job. I really, some of the homeless, they need a job. So I tried to give them a job. And it worked out. It worked out very, very good.
How about Alonzo? Remember, Alonzo was a doorman for a short while.
Yeah.
On the Bowden?
Yeah. And then then one night, the warm-up guy didn't show up. I was taping my radio show here every week. And we had a warm-up guy. And the warm-up guy didn't show up. So Alonzo went up. He was a doorman. But he came in and did the warm-up, and he killed. And so then...
Alonzo came in. The time he came in, he was... Alonzo is a great guy. Actually, I asked him at that point because I didn't have a door person. And Alonzo was a big guy. And he was coming in as open mic and showcase guy. I said, listen, your comedy is not there. But I have a job for you. So what?
And then he turned out to be a great comedian.
I said, can you help me out? And he kind of helped me out. But the guy, he's really, really, he's
talented.
Really talented. Yeah. And he's very quick. He's very witty. And he's really, and he cares for making people laugh. He really genuinely cares for making people laugh. You know, and that's to me is most important thing for anybody, that their heart is to, because I usually call all of the comedian, I don't call them comedian anymore. I call them, they're all doctor of the soul, because they deal with people's soul. And he really, like Felipe, like you, not like Fraser.
Hey, wait a minute.
Fraser does this old joke.
Cut it out.
He's been doing this old joke for, God. Actually, Fraser's been working here, guess how many years?
How many?
34 years.
And it's only been open 32.
34
So how did that, what happened?
He was painting this place.
No.
Painting it, yeah.
No, but actually I opened and Fraser put me on the radio. I never forget it. And after radio, he went one time, he tried to kiss the owner, the station owner.
Oh, here we go.
He was one of the hottest DJ in the country. I mean, he had a billboard all over Sunset, everywhere down La Cienega. And I would go to his radio station, KOLS. He was having a morning show. I would go out there, tell jokes. And I would do buddy, buddy.
That's right. Yeah. He was buddy.
Yeah.
That was.
He was very popular.
I would go up there, and Fraser actually would get jealous of me sometimes.
Buddy.
Because the girls, they would come to me, and they wanted.
He got all the girls.
You know, and
how come he got all the girls?
Fraser did it, and then
hey, buddy.
But because
that Fraser, was wrong.
No, Fraser buddy. Was not attractive to attractive girl. He was he always get attractive to most. Extremely ugliest girl you ever seen. I'm not kidding. That the woman that it was in one time we were in a dinner. Let me tell you. We were in a dinner and Fraser's there. We are sitting, we're having dinner with a manager, and this guy, I want to mention the name of the manager, poor guy. He's sitting there with his wife, and Fraser's sitting in the head of the table, and they brought some of this beautiful seafood and everything. I'm hungry. I'm ready to go. And all of a sudden, the manager comes to me and says, Who's my wife? I said, I don't know. Where's your wife? I start looking under the table.
She might have been there.
And this guy, he actually grabbed my hair. Come with me. Okay. And I had long hair, like a little bit shorter than yours.
No, he was a beetle.
Yeah, but I was a beetle. Yeah, fairly beetle. And he grabbed my hair, and we walked looking around. And then we gone by the bathroom, and there's a noise coming out from the little door next to it. And we looking at the scene, and he kind of hear that's his wife. And he said, what do you want me to do? Open the door. And he didn't want to open it. I opened the door. Next thing you know, Fraser and this big, ugly woman, they're kissing each other. Wow. I got sick. I really
you got sick.
You were taking one for the team.
Wow.
And the funny thing.
See, I don't remember any of this.
He was drunk. He was on the drugs at that point.
Oh, now come on.
The wolf.
No, I got to tell you.
From my brother Wood.
And the other thing happened.
Brother Wood gave him the wrong cologne.
No, yeah. But let me. This is the. Yes. That's
funny. Great buzz off that stuff.
He gave him a lot of cologne. That's he couldn't control himself.
He gave me the wrong cologne.
No, Black he gave Panther. A lot of cologne that you would go for any animal was moving. And the funny thing about it was this girl, this woman, he was fat. She was like a balloon. And she had her legs open. And her pantio is down here. And Fraser put his legs in the middle of the pantio.
Wow.
And now he
do we have to finish this story?
He falls out. And this guy, he keep pointing at me. Look. I said, look. They're having fun.
Wow.
So with my wife.
They're having fun. Oh, man.
With my wife.
Well,
it was funny. And then next thing you know,
Fraser, I like those thin girls.
The next thing you know, Fraser got fired from the station next day. And my job was on down
this
the
is
drain.
Your life, Fraser.
Oh, wait.
Do we have to tell that story?
Let me finish it.
Okay.
Then the funny thing happened.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
My buddy went down the drain.
Yeah, and, that went down the drain. That whole thing.
And this guy who was so vindictive. He got up. He didn't go to sleep all night. He went all of the billboard. He went up to all of the billboard. He threw away picture of Fraser Smith from billboard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, why?
And he was. And I got to tell you.
There go my billboards.
From then on, I was. Fraser became. I asked him, I said, Fraser, do me a favor with your great voice. And he was one time on the cover of our magazine. He's the worst comedian of all time.
What?
You remember?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah, I was.
You were on the Laugh Factory magazine.
Yeah, I was on the Laugh Factory magazine. I was the cover. I had to get on the cover.
Yeah,
so even if I was
the worst comic.
At least I got on there.
I mean, he was doing the old jokes, but his voice was so great. His voice was
White Shadow.
Yes, and he put him on the stage, and he was on the stage for almost, he's been on the stage for 34 years, buddy.
34 years, I have never left the stage.
That's right.
I was
even
there when that guy came on from Bob Hope. I was hiding in the back.
And you were the
Michael Richstone. Michael Richards.
With Michael Richards, you were the host.
Yeah.
You had to calm everybody down. What happened, Jamie? You were there.
Do you want me to tell?
I tell you, but then you can go the next.
Oh, okay.
This is Mika. She's the wonderful.
Hey, Mika.
She's the best of the best.
She runs the Laugh Factory.
She runs the Laugh Factory.
Mika's the one who recommended me to call in for Friday shows and Saturday shows.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, for real. You told me one time at the Latino night, Felipe, you should come in for more spots, not just Monday. Yeah.
Yeah.
You told me.
She have a good
best
eye.
Advice ever.
She makes it happen.
Yes. She power of woman is always the
she
best.
She makes it happen.
Man, they don't have power. Anyway, Michael Richard, get into Michael Richard.
Speaking of no powers.
Yeah.
Speaking of
not anymore.
You are hilarious, man. I got to tell you. You make me laugh, Felipe, always. I'm trying to control myself. Anyway.
What's up, fool?
Let's get to Michael Richard. Michael Richard, you asked me about. Michael Richard is one of those nights was... That phrase was emceeing, bringing everybody else, brought up, hey, ladies and gentlemen, the guy from Seinfeld, Michael Richard, how great he is, how wonderful it is. Michael Richard's coming on the stage. I believe before him, he went, a couple of well-known comedian went up. Jim Gaffigan went on, or Jim Gaffigan was going to
was waiting. Him, he was going to go next.
And a bunch of comedians, they're well-known comedian. They were and he went on there because of the time he got on the stage, and he was with this beautiful blonde girl.
Yeah, I remember his beautiful girlfriend. Yeah.
And they were sitting in my booth, and the next thing I know...
Fraser walked away with her.
Yeah, because I had that cologne. The cologne kicked in.
Fraser was trying. Fraser is like a I got to tell you a story about Bill Cosby, too. Fraser is like Bill Cosby.
Oh, now, come on.
Fraser, he doesn't balls to hit on people in front of... He goes, the time the guys, they're on another round, he go hit on them.
That's what I do, Yeah.
Anyway, Michael Richards goes after the famous people go, and he built him up so big. He goes on the stage, and his audience, they're quiet. And for first few minutes, they give him big applause, big laugh.
He got a little bit of laughs at first, yeah.
Oh, he got a good applause,
yeah.
Good laugh.
Yeah.
And after a few minutes, he took his belt out. And he started whipping the bar stool. This. And it didn't make no sense. And we have about 10 people that came up. They were upstairs. They
a party, sitting. A birthday party.
A birthday party came up. And they were, I don't know about birthday. You're making up the birthday
no,
party.
No, no, no.
I'll go along with it. Okay, birthday okay, party. Okay. Okay. There are 10 people that are up here. Flipa. And I never forget it. And they start talking. The waitress went to take order. And Michael was... on the stage, and it was so quiet he could hear the people talking at. So what the heck are you guys talking about? And at that point, the guy said, "Oh, nothing, nothing. Go ahead, do your act." He said, "No, I want to know what you." And the guy said, "I don't think so. You want to know?" He said, "No, I want to know. Yeah, I want to know." And the guy said, "Well, my friend said you're not funny at all in front of his girl." And he really got him upset. He got him upset to a point of that all of a sudden he started taking off. 50 years ago, we did Behind You, we did that. They were African American. And I heard that. I said, maybe it's a joke there. I was standing up there. And
yeah, you kept waiting for a joke.
I remember Fraze was next to me, and I'm just holding to his jacket. I said, he must be fucking telling a joke. This is a joke.
We keep hoping it's a joke.
Nothing comes up. And the next thing I know, I ran upstairs trying to put his mic off and start putting it. And Fraze went on the stage. Then I announced that, hey, anybody in the club, we don't promote, the Laugh Factory is not about promoting hatred. We always want to spread love and we want to help people. And so anybody, whatever you guys spend, come by the door, I'm by the door, I'm giving you money back. And next thing you know, Michael Richard come in by the door.
Oh, and he wanted his money back.
Michael Richard comes on the door, and he said, "You giving them the money back?" I said, "Yes." "Don't give them money back."
Oh.
And one of the guys came in.
Sorry.
Oh, that's not nice.
I'm sorry.
Fire him as co-host.
I'm sorry.
Co-host. Fire him immediately. I would fire. If I have a co-host like that, he would be gone.
Oh, wow.
At least sign his check and tell him don't come back.
Okay. Wow.
Anyway, Michael Richard at that point started going, and I said, "I'll pay you back, guys, bye." And Michael Richard come into the lobby, and the time he's in lobby, he said, "You're paying everybody back." And a couple of guys, they say, "Hey, Kramer. And he did not like anybody call him Kramer.
Yeah, he didn't
you
like
You son
it.
Of a bitch. Yeah, well. I said, "Calm down." I pushed him up, take him, brought him up here. Then I went downstairs. I started giving money up. And I've got to tell you something. It was one of the funniest things happened. Is this one of you would love that, Felipe. There was you would love that. Is I'm giving everybody their money back. And they give me a receipt. They say, "Oh, I spend that much. I give them that much." And Mika told Mika to go get some cash. He got some cash register. We have all of the money from, and I've given everybody everything from the bar. I'm taking the money, giving to everybody. All of a sudden, this little Latino guy come in. He said to me, I said, "Well, how much is your check?" He said, $300. I said, "How many people you had with me?" He said, "Me and my girl." He said, "You and your girl spent $300? I have a party of 10 people they haven't spent. 20 people they didn't spend. How did you spend it? Do you have a receipt?" And he looked at me. He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, let me see the receipt." He put his hand in his pocket. We brought up a switchblade.
Oh, wow.
He said, "That's my receipt." I said, "Oh, absolutely. Here is. I see the receipt. I don't need to see it."
Oh, that's good.
I start giving him the money back. And it was, and I like Michael Richard. I told him, I said at that point, "Come apologize to people. People make mistakes. People, they forgive people. They are sincere about their apology and everything." He just went on the Letterman and he said Afro hair American or something. He said it was more
it
insulting.
It seemed weird, yeah.
It was more insulting.
Now, let me ask Jamie, do you think that night that he was just trying to shut those people up, or was he, is he really racist, or was that just him being angry?
I think this is my honest opinion. I mean, I see, for example, Mel Gibson, for example, is in Malibu, and he said a lot of racist stuff, and the excuses after it, he says, hey, I was drunk, I didn't know what I was saying. And person said was he was angry, he didn't know what he wasn't. But I think underneath everything, we all of us, we have some kind of evil stuff underneath everybody. It is not too many people, they are pure, but everybody have some evil stuff. And you know, and the evil comes sooner or later, it's come under the top. You could see it. And I think it's one of those moments. Where
that was his moment.
His moment, he just let it go.
Donald Trump had a lot of moments.
Yeah. Do you know what I said when I got on stage? Because it was just after the Mel Gibson.
He did a wonderful. I got to let me enter. And Fraser went up there. I mean, Fraser was so wonderful about it. I never forget it. I would give him a lot of. He kept on saying, I'm sorry, guys. We don't promote this type of thing. And. Let's get, and who want to bring Jim Gaffigan up or somebody?
Jim Gaffigan said, I'm not going up.
He's not going up. Anybody?
No, Sully was before. Oh, who went up that was good was Mike Marino. Because Mike Marino went
but
up.
But Mike Marino went up.
Get the bat.
Get the bat. But yeah. Mike Marino, he went off for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. By that time, everybody, they were in the line getting their money back. Yeah. And they were leaving.
But Mike Marino is funny. He said, hey, that happens in Jersey every day. Don't worry about it. He calmed everybody down.
He did not say that. I mean, they're going to say Mike Marino is prejudiced now. Stop.
No, he didn't mean it like that.
He didn't say that. No, Mike Marino is another. Mike Marino is another great comic. He's from New Jersey. Very, very good comic.
Very good.
And
yeah.
He does that joke about he want to be Italian. They want to be a president. You remember that joke? He's very good at that. Crazy. He could do worst impression of that joke. Go ahead, Fraser.
Yeah, but I'm also what. I'm also going to be his vice president.
That's the worst. You're going to lose the whole thing.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
So you started the Laugh Factory in 1979?
Yes. 1979, I started a club, and I came to this country. I was 14 years old.
Your father, he raised money to send you to Hollywood?
My father not only raised money, borrowed the money, and he did everything, and it was one way to
lost an arm.
And you know, again, and you might know about it. Maybe Lisa,
you're an immigrant.
Yeah, but Lisa and Fraser, they might not know about it because you're part Latino and all of that stuff. You understand that most of the people out there, some of them they're immigrant because at the time our father sent me to here to America because he was hoping they think. They really think in America, the money is just, you could pick it up on the street. Really, and they think you could send the money, back home. And that was the sad part of it. And the first day actually I got in here, I was in the airport, I saw some money. And you remember payphone was there at that point. Some, not coins, some dollar bills, I don't know how much was it, dollar bill was under the payphone. And I had this a pound cake I brought for the person I was supposed to see, and I have in my arm, and I said, oh, I'm not going to work today. I'm going to start picking up the money tomorrow. And I believe that. I was so simple and stupid. I never saw any money anymore. But that was the first time, you know, God was saying, welcome to America. There's some money there. I didn't pick it up.
You know what, though? He really is the American dream come true. Jamie really is. He came here when he was very young. Didn't have anything. Didn't have any money, you know, and he slept at the Comedy Store.
Slept in a Comedy Store? What? I didn't sleep with Mitzi.
Didn't you?
Slept with Mitzi.
I didn't sleep with her. No, I said you slept at the Comedy Store.
No, I didn't.
In the Bellarine.
That's what somebody told me.
No, I never said. No, I was living in the corner of La Cienega and Sunset. I was sleeping. I was every day. I would wake up 7 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping in the garage of the guy. He was the manager of the place.
Oh, okay.
And he have a couch like this. Was not as good as this, but it was beat up couch. It smelled like a pee.
A futon.
No, it wasn't futon. It was a couch. It was really one of those old couch that you slept on it. It smelled like pee all the time. And I slept there, and he would, at nighttime, the time I would go inside, I would screw a couple of, a couple of nails to plywood to open the door, to do the lock the door. And he put park his car halfway to the garage because the couch was there. That's how I slept. And I always worked for him. And every day, you know, he was a nice man. And if I see him today, I give him some more money. But every day he woke me up, 7 o'clock in the morning, go up there, and he have a ladder. And he want me to prime and paint the whole building, 14 years old. It was 3 floors. And I was scared of the heights, but I did it. I didn't. I said, this is what I got to do. And at lunchtime, his wife would come in and give me a couple of pieces of salami in the middle of 2 pieces of white piece of bread and glass of water. That's, and I would eat it. At nighttime, I would go to my room. I didn't have anything else to eat. And I was hoping next day she gave me the same thing I did. And after 2 weeks working there, he gave me $28 check. Not money, cash, check. And I asked his wife, I want to send money back home. She took me to the post office. She cashed the check. I sent the 25 of them to my parents.
Wow.
Then at that point, I realized, oh, you know, I became all of the sudden guardians for my parents, by my grandparents and everything. And I got to tell you.
$28 for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
What are you, $2 Mexican?
Well, I, you know, as
Paul. Room and board, too.
As Paul Rodriguez, Paul Mooney always tell me, I said, I'm a legal alien. He want to call the police for me all the time. You know, get the police going. And
oh, homie.
Homie, this boy.
We've got to get him out of here, homie.
This boy, he's from Mexico.
He's Italian.
He walked across the border. You got somebody call the police. Call the police.
You know, Jamie did play a Mexican character in the Steve Martin show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Back in those days, right?
Yeah, I did. I did a show called Twilight Theater with Steve Martin and Father Soducci and all of those guys. And the time I did start doing a comedy, stand-up comedy. Digress. And I got to tell you something. I go to Compton, I go to South Central, I go to Chicago, I go to anywhere, everywhere I go, I keep telling people, I said, listen to me. If I made it in this country with my English, with my smartness, with my look, everything, everybody got the chance to make it. I'm not really the smartest person in the world. I'm not the best of the best. But, you know, this country, if you want to do whatever you want to do, if you put your mind into it, you work hard, you could achieve whatever you want to do.
But very few people work harder than him.
You know, but
he works 20 hours a day. No, you know what, though? You had a dream and you believed in it.
Yeah, and that's the key. I have a passion. And I think if you have a passion, no matter what you do, like Flipper, you have a passion to become one of the greatest comics. And you're going to become you're going to be in history one of the greatest comic. Now, if Fraser Smith, he have a passion, become a comic, he become one of the worst comic.
Yeah, but I have cologne, so I don't need
Chanel for 20.
Yeah.
Yes, and the cologne he goes. I mean, I never even thought about a guy like Fraser with all of the girls he could get. Screwing up this wife of his.
Oh, well, wait a minute. First of all, I don't think that happened, but I don't know. I might have been
drunk or for stone. Or stone. Yeah.
But I don't think that happened. But, you know, I am impressed with Jamie. And, you know, I remember when he told me he didn't have a club. There was no Laugh Factory. And he said, I'm going to build a club. I'm going to open a club. And I thought, well, how's he going to do that? He doesn't have a lot of money at this point.
No, but you actually after I opened the club.
Oh,
hello, you came in here. You remember you were so hot. You have 3-4 bodyguard. You have that big mic with you.
Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Monster.
And he took me. And the girls, they want to go cook us dinner one night. Because they said, buddy.
Not this story.
Yeah. Oh, no. I got to tell you this story.
Oh, no.
Buddy.
Yeah, buddy. And buddy, these girls, they were, and Fraser want to get a piece of ass at that point.
Wait a minute.
And these girls, they said, the only way you're going to get anything if you bring your buddy with you.
Buddy was now hooking me up.
And he took me to this place, and these girls, they have a beautiful place. I believe, I don't know, Hermosa Beach.
Woodland Hills. Close.
Hill, whatever it was. It was a beautiful two-floor place, and it was gorgeous. And we go inside, and I see on the walls, they have all kind of picture of big stars, rock and roll stars, this, this. And all of a sudden, I see the picture of Buddy Buddy there with my hat.
They were Buddy Buddy fans.
With you made it to the with
my, yeah, that's right. My glasses on.
He had his cool glasses. You know,
and I have a bow tie was flashing. And I see, I got in my head, I'm a big star now. And Fraser at that point, I got to tell you something. Now he calmed down. But Fraser at that point was a horn dog. He just not gave up on anything.
Well, it was the cologne.
And as soon as we came in, Fraser walked with those two girls. They were talking to us, and they said they're going to bring the food. And Fraser walked with them in the kitchen. And he walked in the kitchen. I'm sitting on. I sit down on the dining room table, and I'm dining room, and they are not coming out. I see a big, like a. What they call it, a ball of, not ball, half ball a ball,
of
ball
mushroom.
Mushrooms. And some, another yep, dip in dip. Here, ranch dip. And I'm standing, I said, they don't mind it. Let me have a few of those. I kept on eating, it tastes good with ranch. And I kept on eating, kept on eating. And next thing you know, they came in. One of the girls said, what's happened to the mushroom? I said, I'm sorry, I hope you don't mind. I ate some of it. You didn't eat all of it. I said, oh my God. I'll pay for them. He said, no, do you know? And then they start whispering to Fraser. Fraser said, oh, you got to drink water, whatever you got to do this. I said, okay, all right. I start drinking water. I start eating food. And all of a sudden, I said, I got to go pee. And one of the girls said, come with me. I'll show you. The bathroom is upstairs. We walk upstairs. And she said, here's my bedroom. Go to the bathroom and come get me in the bedroom. I said, okay. I didn't know what's happening. I'll go to the bathroom. I zip myself. I realized I can't pee. I was thinking of peeing, but I couldn't pee. I'm just, you know, standing up there. It's something like, I don't know, something was going in my head and weird stuff. And finally, I said, after 10-minute waiting, standing up there, I said, okay, I don't need to pee. I start coming out, and I see the girl. She's in the bedroom. She said, I saw you. She looked like a. She all of a sudden she looked like a monster, and she's waving me. And I'll go and Fraser's downstairs sitting with this girl, and I think Fraser was trying. If I'm not mistaken, I couldn't see very well at that point because I was stoned out of my mind. Fraser was trying to.
You're on mushrooms.
These were mushrooms. Yeah.
Real. And I saw Fraser was trying to make up with the girl, whatever it was. And I said, Fraser, what do you want, buddy? And he was very impatient with it. What the fuck you want? Like, what do you want to say? Can we swear on your podcast?
Yes. Yeah. No.
Okay. And he said, "What?" I said, Fraser, I don't have no legs. And he said, what, buddy? What do you say? I said, I have no legs. Next thing I know, I start rolling down
Boom.
The stairs. Bum, 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 bum. And it was the great thing was the downstairs, the time I got downstairs, it was shag carpet. And I hit my head against shag carpet. I was okay. Then next thing you know, they take me, they put me on the couch. One of the girls, she's trying to massage me. And one of the girls, she said, put your hand in your mouth and throw up. Put your finger in your mouth. And I don't know how to read. Opening my mouth because I'm so stoned, don't know how to go to my. And finally, she put my finger in my throat, and I said, whatever. And then I got a little bit better. By dawn,
we were walking him around the block.
Yeah.
Then he was like, look at the colors.
No. Yeah, no. Then we get in the dawn time, he said, Fraser, we got to go home. Fraser said, let's go. We get in his car. He was driving one of those Z something, I don't know.
280Z.
Yeah, 280Z.
240Z.
Yeah, 280. Yeah.
280Z. Yeah, he was driving. Why are you laughing?
I'm just thinking about you guys in the 280Z.
I don't know. Yeah. What, do you know the car?
Yeah, it's a badass car for the 80s, late 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't
280ZX, the Nissan 280.
We were rolling Kilo G.
I didn't know what was it. I thought it was a car crate. And we're driving down freeway, and Fraser, now, Jesus, Jesus. And he kept doing that. I was afraid. You know, she was right there, man. It could have happened, man. You fucked it up, man. I was afraid. He's like,
wow.
Jesus, man. It was right there. It was right there, man. She was cooking. She was ready. She was hot, man.
Buddy cockblocking with the mushrooms.
And she kept on telling
me. I can't believe he did that.
And he kept on telling me this.
Wow.
The next thing I know, the funny thing happened. He's telling me all of that stuff. I'm looking at from the window. The sun started coming up, and it was very beautiful flame. And I said, Phrase, what? Look at that beautiful sky with different color. Look at how beautiful it is. And Phrase, he's upset for me.
Well, he ruined my night, but. He had a good time.
He doesn't give a shit about me at all. And he's calling me. I realize this guy is the most selfish person.
What?
Because all he talks about, he said, Jesus, she was there. She was just ready. She was cooking. She was just cooking.
I can't believe
she
You know,
I'm still mad at him about that.
You know, he kept on saying that type of stuff. It was. And then we got to his place and. I said, well, Phrase, I got to go home. He said, no, I can't drive home. I said, okay. And I crashed on his couch. And I saw him. He kept on walking back and forth. And he was smoking pot. One pot, one joint after another one. And I'm just, you know, seeing a cartoon in this. I see Fraser look like a crazy guy, like a little cartoon, go back and forth. He kept on going back and forth. And I'm so... out of it. I don't know what the heck he's doing. And he's going back and forth. Finally, I fall asleep. And I woke up about maybe a few hours, maybe 3, 4, 5 hours later. Phrase was walking the same place he was walking. She was just cooking, man.
Oh,
she
man. Was just... I could not let it go.
She was just there, man. She was just there. She was just there.
He ruined my life. That one night, he ruined it.
Kept on saying, she was just cooking. I was like, oh, God.
Wow.
And then,
that should be on a t-shirt. She was just cooking.
Man.
He kept on saying, she was just cooking. She was ripe. She was cooking.
She was prime.
I can't believe he did
that
to me. I'm still mad at him.
And then afterwards, it was an afternoon.
Where was the boss's wife at that point?
No, wait. We get to boss. And then he was living with his bodyguard. This guy, big, huge Mike.
Monster.
Walker.
Monster.
Monster, whatever his name was. Big Mike.
Mike.
Big Mike.
Yeah. Mike.
Big Mike.
We call him Monster.
He walks in and Phrase keep knocking this thing in front of Mike. Mike said, and I said, how you doing, buddy? What's going on, buddy? He kept on saying to me, buddy, what's going on? I said, I got to go to club because I left Jerry Bednar be in charge of the club.
Oh, that's a mistake.
And I went on a date. And I went date with this girl. I left Jerry B. here.
Oh, man,
so
Jerry.
I said, I got to go to the club. Mikey said, come on, I'll drive you. And Phrase said, no, I'm coming to drive you. So they drive me. And on the way here, he never let up. Jesus, man. She was just right. She was just.
Wow.
I mean, he get into that. I'm not kidding. He did not go to sleep. He did not go to sleep at the daytime.
That's why he hates mushrooms.
I've been up ever since then. Yeah, I've been up for 20 years.
I never forget that.
Jesus.
He kept us.
I'm still mad about it.
She was just there, man. She was just there. If you wish, she just there. She was cooking. She was right there.
Wow, man. I still can't believe he did that to me. But anyway, how about the time with the car, buddy? This is another one. I was at the club, and we had a good show, and the show's over, so we go home. We used to hang around at the club afterwards. We'd all hang around and talk because we were a little younger. We didn't have to go home. We all hang around, and we went home pretty late. So I get home, and finally I get to sleep. It's about 4 o'clock, and I get a phone call, and it's Jamie. He goes, Phrase, car in club. I go, what? He goes, car in club. I said, you joined a car club?
Oh,
he goes,
no,
I did not.
Okay. Now he's trying to exaggerate, make it sound good. He's trying to exaggerate.
No, this
car,
is
right.
Wait, I get a fine. One night it happened in here. I get a
that is what happened.
I get a phone call from fire department, and you got to come to the club. I said, and I looked at it. What time is it about? 3:30 in the morning. I said, what's going on?
You got to come after to the a club. Show though.
You got to come to the. It was after the show. I was home. I was falling asleep or dead to sleep, and you got to come to the club. So okay, I'll be there. I come in here, chief of the police there. Chief of the fire department, everyone, so many fire department, they were all in here, ambulance, everything. What's happened? And I look at it, car, half of the car inside the club. Half of the car inside the club, we went in the club. We were lucky. The thing we were lucky, we were because we were hanging down by there. If the time we were sitting up there, if that car came in, all of us, we would be dead. All of us would be dead. And the fire department, they, you know, we talking to them on it. They said, okay, we got to take this old man. He was an old man. And I talked to him. He said, well, I take care of it. I don't have insurance. I said, no problem. Let's do it. And he gave me his number, everything. I said, okay. And the fire department said, the poor old man, he was taking his wife to a hospital or something. And instead of putting his, in a stop sign, instead of putting his feet on a brick, he put his feet on the gas and he speed and he went through the car. He lost control. I said, oh, poor guy. And then the guy, he recognized me. The guy he recognized me said, you're a buddy from Fraser's show. I said, yeah. He said, can you get Fraser on the phone? I said, yeah, okay. I'll call him Fraser. And now he's exaggerating 4:30. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning and they're all still there, the fire department, all of them, they are around the club, they going up and down, they looking at everything, they're looking at the structure of the club, if the club is gonna fall down. They have an engineer looking at everything. And I said, Fraser, I said, car in the club, you gotta come to the club right now. And Fraser, oh, what are you talking about? I said, come to the club right now. And he didn't want to come in. Finally, I said, Fraser, the fire department, they want you in the club right now. And Fraser came in and he talked to them because they were his fan. They want to all get his autograph. And Fraser was big at that point. It was really big time at that point. And that poor old man.
Yeah, the poor old guy, right?
I called him and he said, okay, I'll pay you monthly. I don't have money to pay you for all of the damages monthly. I said, okay. And the damages at that point was, if I'm not mistaken, was like a $6,000-$7,000
The car was all the way into the club.
The club, the window broke, the door, the whole thing, and $6,000-$7,000, whatever it was. And at that point, I go to. He said, "Come on, pick up some money now." I said, "Oh, that's great. This man is going to pay me something." So I go to his side. They're poor guys. They're living in this place like a retirement home, and they have a little room there, and the woman, she bring me a bunch of quarters in a little thing is, and in a bottle. She said, "Well, this is what we're going to give you now, and we're going to give you every month whatever we save." You know, they were on their social security, and they were on. Finally, I remember it was around Jewish high holidays. I went out there. They were Jewish, by the way. I'll go out there. And they have their TV on. Their TV was a little black and white TV was on. So I bought them a TV. I end up paying for their TV. I end up to pay for everything because I love this old
guy. Yeah, he's a nice
old
guy.
They didn't have nothing going for them. And the guy made a mistake on his car. And I had to pay $220 to fix his car too.
Wow.
Not me. Nothing to do with me. I had to pay for it. So
and that, you know, was, and we had to do the show. Yeah, Jamie was really cool to the guy. But we had to do the show you could see out into the street.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks, you could see. Right. Yeah, people were walking by, sticking their hands in the club. And then we had police tape, and we put up a plastic. But you could see right into the street during the show.
Yeah, we had it for
a couple of weeks.
For a couple of weeks, they put a plywood on, but through the crack of the plywood, because, you know, at the time the fire department put the plywood on, they don't really make it safe and interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's enough of me. Are we have enough or
yeah.
keep
yeah.
on?
Yeah.
Oh, we do? Okay, great.
What's up, fool? Fool.
What's up, fool? So I'm sorry. Who's going to be here?
So tell us, Fraser, where are you going to be this weekend?
From this weekend, I'm going to be at the world famous Laugh Factory.
Check him out, buddy.
Which is the number one club, by the way. Number one.
She was prime.
You know, one thing we got to say.
She was ready.
That's what I have to say.
She was cooking.
She was cooking.
That should be a t-shirt, man.
She was cooking. She was cooking.
I'm still pissed.
She was cooked, man. She was ready to go.
You know, we got to say about Jamie, though. He took the club from a tiny, tiny little place that, you know, it was really just the smallest little club you can imagine to the top club in the world.
Yeah, but it
it's
was
number one.
The time the club.
It's number one in the world.
The time we started the club, we were lucky. I know, you know, first night I opened the club, it was
Richard Pryor
was in here. Paul Mooney was in here. And I'm going to finish this story because
number
Philippa,
one.
You heard the story, but Lisa has not heard the story. The first night I opened the club, Paul Mooney is in here. Paul Mooney is my MC. Paul Mooney, he have one of those bottles of cheap wine, Mad Dog or something. He's drinking Mad Dog.
Nitrate.
2020.
Yes. Oh, you drink that?
Did nitrate, probably. Oh, yeah. Wine.
Yeah. I'm still drinking
it. You drink some of that.
The days.
Yeah, you might.
Yeah, I drink it now.
I knew you could relate
to
that.
My 280Z.
It was nitrate and it was bad.
Oh, man. Yeah. It smelled. And you got another guy. His name was Falstaff. Falstaff. Falstaff was a gay guy that he was always hidden on Fraser. It was something about
this guy had no taste.
He was
a cologne. Yeah,
it whatever was Fraser cologne at that point. Larry Wood was not in here. Anyway, Fraser would come in. Oh my dear Fraser, my heart been thinking about you all the time. And Fraser would just play to it. Oh really? My heart been doing the same thing. And Fraser was very funny with this guy. Anyway, Falstaff sitting up there. Falstaff, he took some Quaalude and foam was coming out of his mouth. This is my opening night. Then I have
another. We thought it was part of his act.
Then I have another guy. His name was Brent Jordan.
Oh, Brent Jordan.
I said, Brent, you ready to go on? Yeah. I said, Brent, you ready to go on? And he kept on doing that. I said, what that mean? Are you ready? That was his bit. I said, oh my God, when I'm going, I have three lunatic in
here. Where do you get them?
And Tom Dreesen is supposed to be there with George Melle. He's not there. And I'm going on the stage. At that point, I'm emceeing myself. I go on the stage. I said to Paul Mooney, I'm going on the stage. I'm bringing you up. So, okay, just let me finish my wine. I said, okay, no problem. And Paul Mooney, by the way, Richard Pryor bought him a beautiful suit with a hat, with a whole thing. It looked like a real, real classy pimp. It really looked like. And he had this big, huge Star of David's in his chest. That is big, huge gold one. Anyway, so I am going on the stage. I start talking. I did a couple of my jokes. They were stupid jokes, like my first joke. I said, no laugh. The second joke, no laugh. The third joke was the joke was doing about...
pet psychiatrist.
I did pet psychiatrist.
You want me to tell the pet psychiatrist?
Don't ruin the joke, okay?
Sorry.
I was, my joke was going out. Before that, I did a joke, I got him laugh. Hey, I came to America. Everybody in America said the best way to pick up girls, you got to go to a dancing club and find a girl and start blowing hot air in her ears and hold her very close to squeeze her in your arms. She get hot. You could take her home. You could get laid. I said, oh, my God. That's easy. I want to get laid. So I go to one of this nightclub. I see this beautiful girl, but she was a little bit overweight.
Just my type.
And nobody asked her to dance. So she was by herself and slow dance was going. I said, would you like to dance? She waved yes. And I took her and dancing. And so putting my arm around it. I couldn't hold my hand together because she was so fat. And I kept on squeezing her into myself. And so bringing hot air in her ears. And all of a sudden she got really excited or something. She said, what do you use for protection in your country? I said, a knife or a stick.
See, that was a good joke. How about his pet psychiatrist joke? You want to tell that one, or should I?
No. Pets, you're going to ruin it.
Okay, okay. You tell it.
I don't. And you tell another joke I had. It was, that's one, actually, David Letterman helped me. He was a good writer, David Letterman, and he helped me with my material at that point. My joke was, I was walking down Sunset Boulevard. I saw a sign. It said pet psychiatrist. I said to myself, no way I ever going to sit down and tell my problem to a German shepherd. That was
See, that's a good line. That's a good line.
I got to give credit to David Letterman.
David wrote that joke?
Yeah. No, help me up with
that. Tagged it up.
But anyway, so they are there. I'm doing my joke. And then after a few minutes, I'm doing my joke. It's not going anywhere. And I'll go back there. I put my head in. I see Falstaff sitting down. He's sitting down. No, Falstaff is passed out.
He's foaming.
Brent, he's keep going around looking at his mirror. Honestly, he lost his mind. He really lost his mind. And Paul Mooney drinking wine. I said, Paul, you got to come. No, go. I said, well, ladies and gentlemen, we have... I said, Paul, I'm bringing you up. Ladies and gentlemen, we have one of the greatest comedians. He just performed for Pope in Navarican and whatever he did. He's a very famous comedian. His name is Paul Mooney, Mr. Paul Mooney. And let's bring him up. Paul Mooney doesn't come up. Mr. Paul Mooney is coming up. Nothing come up. And one of the guys from, this is real. We pay 50 cents to come in here. And we can't even see, you know, maybe he should leave. And I got upset. I went back there. I don't get upset, but I'll go up there. I grab Paul Mooney with his jacket, pull him off from the stage. His hat dropped. He picked up his hat. He had afro at that point. He put his hat on. He comes on the stage. And I got to tell you, my microphone, and my microphone stand was from bamboo. I made it from bamboo because I didn't have money to buy sound system. And I have a record player with the speakers two sides. That was my sound system. Anyway, at that point, Paul Mooney, I brought him on the stage. He came on the stage and he had this bottle with him and he threw his bottle back there. And I came off the stage and he said, everybody call the police. This goddamn foreign illegal alien. He walked across the border. We should report him. And he went off on me. And the people start laughing.
And yeah, at that he was point, like Donald Trump.
Yeah. Then at that point, he said, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first club in the United States ever going to pay comedian. And we have one of the greatest comedian, my friend, Richard Pryor. And I said, Richard Pryor? What the fuck are you talking about? And I was next thing I know from my door, all of a sudden, Richard Pryor walks in with this beautiful velvet suit and, you know, went on the stage. And he went on the stage. He started doing his comedy. And the time he did his comedy, it was one of the most amazing comedy I ever seen somebody do. And he did it for 45 minutes. And then he came off the stage and I ran proudly to pay everybody. And I had $3.75 to give Richard Pryor. And Richard Pryor put his hand in his pocket. What do you want? I said, Richard, I'm the first comedy club. Did you hear Paul Mooney? He said, I'm first comedy club paying people. This is your pay. And he took his hand in his pocket. He brought that stack of $100 bill. He took one of them. He wrote that on it. This is for your rent, boy. Richard Pryor, 1979.
Wow.
He gave it to me. And I looked at
it. You still got it?
Yes. I looked at it. I said, Richard, this is he was a brand new $100 bill. I said, Richard, it's kind of like I understand. I was trying to make a joke, be funny. I said, I understand, but this, you know, it doesn't make sense. You know, I know in America, don't think I'm stupid. I know in America, they make $1 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20. They don't make no $100. Where did you print these at? And I said he did it for his publicity. Where did he print this? And Paul Mooney is next to him now. He brought the next guy up. He brought Tom Dreesen up or somebody. And he comes off at the stage. He was next to him. And Richard looked at Paul Mooney and said, this, you know, this motherfucker wants, what's going on? You know, he said, oh, no, maybe he needs some more money. And Richard put his hand in his pocket. He threw me another $100 bill. I picked them up. I said, hey, if I print them, if I would do this printing, I would
throw them around
most
too.
Of them. So I took them, I put them in my pocket. And Richard, he was upset from me. And Paul said, me, get F away from me. And I said, okay, I start walking away. I went next door, and it was Benson Fond there. I went to next door, and I went to Benson, and I said, Benson, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. He said, in America, do they make $100 bills? Why are you asking me? I said, I don't know. Look at it. He said, yes. I said, you mean in America they make $100 bills? I said, you're kidding me. Come on, don't joke. And he opened his cash register. He took this little black thing out, and underneath, so it was $100 bill. I looked at him. They're both the same way. I said, oh, my God. Benson said, what's wrong? I said, I just told one of the greatest comedians of all time. He's a forger. He's a counterfeiter. And he's that. And I ran after. I left my $100. And Benson ran after me, give me my $100. I come, Richard. Oh, no. What the fuck he want now? I said, Richard, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know in America they make $100 bill. Here's all of your $100 bill. I'm sorry. I never forget that. Richard, at that point, he came in, put an arm around me. He said, Paul, you got to take care of this motherfucker. Because Hollywood's going to eat him alive. He's so stupid that Hollywood's going to eat him alive. And from then on, Richard became my friend. And that's a good way to finish the podcast. Thank you.
What's up, Jamie Masada, people?
What's up, fool?
Thank you for doing the podcast, Jamie.
You're welcome. And you know, I got to tell you, you know, your podcast, and you are great. I mean, anytime you're on the stage, I love you, and I think you're great, and you got a great family. And I usually love a comedian. They have a good soul. And you're one of those comedians. I would really genuinely tell everybody you are a doctor of the soul, because you really enjoy making people laugh.
Yeah, man.
The time you come in, Thanksgiving, everything, my heart, you know, my hat off to you guys. Both of you guys. You and your wife coming in. It's amazing. I love you.
They're awesome.
Thank you, Fraser, for doing a podcast.
I had a great time. Thank you very much.
She was ready.
And now I just, she was ready, guys.
She was cooking.
She was cooking.
She was right.
She might still be there. I got to get going. You know, I'm letting Rodrigo stay in my summer home down in Mexico.
All right.
So he'll be back next week. Thank you.
The Laugh Factory is open on Hollywood and Long Beach. Every Friday, they have 3 shows, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and the midnight show, people. You could walk up to Jay Masada and walk up to him and tell him, she was ready.
And he'll give you $100. Number one club.
She was cooked, man.
What's up, fool? I'll be at the Harrah's and Valley Center, California tonight, August 28th, with Jimmy Schubert, Along the Border, and That Fan. San Jose Improv, September 4th through the 6th. Comedy Works in Denver, September 23rd through 26th. Fraser, plug anything, upcoming show, your radio show.
Oh, I'm on every night on 95, not every night, every Sunday night on 95.5 KLOS. I wish I was on every day. 10 till 2, Sunday night on 95.5 KLOS. Thanks, guys. They can listen online at 95.5KLOS.com.
If you want to come on down here on Thanksgiving, every Thanksgiving
and Christmas,
we're out here, we're feeding everybody, we're telling jokes, we're making shit happen.
Yep.
The only thing is, if you are well off, you know, we ask everybody, if somebody's well off, take your car, pick up some homeless people, some underprivileged people on the street, bring them in here, drop them off in here. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them toy. We're going to give them blanket, anything they need. And I'm blessed to be able to share that with everybody because of all of this comedian, Filippa, his wife, Fraser Smith. Every comedian in this town, without them, I would not be able to do it. Thank you very much, Felipe. I love you.
Love you too. Yeah, man. That was fun, man.